welcome back. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and scumbaggery, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. I'm a very special guest celebrating the peak of human insanity. It's Pete Crackers. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. I like in the diet genocide version. Pretty interesting. I did the show.
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, diet genocide is even more cancer-causing than regular genocide.
You're right on the money, Vinny, before break, when you said, when have you ever had, or when have you last had, a conversation, you know, with your friends that really meant something? And I got to tell you, with today's technology, with Skype, I get to have some of the best conversations with people I don't even know. And they're just meaningful conversations. I have a bunch of fellows that I often discuss things back and forth and just, you know, bounce things out there, test for echo on our own, you know, babble, so to say. And they're truthful and they're honest. And the conversations are deep and they're meaningful. And they're all over the world. You know, I talk with a couple fellows from Ireland, one from the UK, one from the United States. And they're just heartfelt men that really just care like I do. And the conversations are on great topics, and they're usually about, you know, love and humanity and what the evils are doing amongst these people in the world, and, you know, how they can make a difference. And they're really good and refreshing conversations versus just your local sports team winning or how cold is your beer at that particular moment with a hot slice of pizza. And, hey, that's not a bad thing from time to time, but it becomes everything in most people's worlds, unfortunately, versus the problems that do exist, and we choose to ignore them.
Yeah, it's like you feel empty. Like there's a meaningful purpose to your life, but you don't know what it is, and it hurts you that you don't know what it is. So you try to ply yourself with whatever is available and distract yourself from realizing the simple, obvious truth that you're a slave and you're not fighting your own enslavement, just reinforcing it day by day. And that, if that realization hits you, then you've got two choices. You can change it, or you can attempt to distract yourself even more and start to criticize those people who are changing it. You ever notice that?
All the time. All the time. It is 100% the truth. And you have that choice at any given second of your life to make that difference and to start seeing it in a different way. And that way is being truthful to understand that you're enslaved. And then what are you going to do about that enslavement from that point on? Are you just going to keep going with the flow? Or are you going to maybe swim against the current for a while and see how that feels? And you will get tired for a little while. Then you'll eventually flow with the current, and you'll anchor onto a different spot in that stream. And if that spot doesn't feel comfortable, then, hey, go back in there and keep swimming a little bit. But don't just float along, because at the end of it is a waterfall, and it's usually not going to be very good. And when that comes crashing down and you feel that pressure on you, that is what they've set out to do. And I see it all the time to this day. People still can't figure out what's causing so much pain in their life. How did it all go wrong is the most common phrase, right? I had a great job. I had a big house. I had a great vehicle. We went on vacation, Disney World, yeah. And then the end of all of it, their fetal position in a corner. Why? I thought it was all great. What happened here?
All those things that you once held dear, that you thought were really valuable and enjoyable, were actually nothing. Really. Temporary glitches and programs in the matrix, as it were, that don't actually mean anything. I mean, I've got these flashy belt buckles still, from when I was a salesman, you know, like a big metal $100 bill belt buckle, a a giant dollar sign encrusted with a cubic zirconia belt buckle. You know, this kind of real flashy stuff. I was looking at them about a month ago, and I was just like, wow, these are really cool. But they're not me. They're not me anymore. You know? I was trying to think about the sort of arrogant, I'm number one top salesperson that I was, making all the money, doing everything better than everybody else, and feeling real proud of myself as a result. I suppose nothing's changed, except now I'm not making a whole lot of money.
Nope, and I hear you. But doesn't it feel good, Vinny, that you're in the muck? Doesn't it feel good that you're in that muck, and you're in there and you're feeling it? You know the muck is real. You know what you're into right now is dirt and all. It's real. And, you know, the attractions and attachments that you just mentioned, all that thin air that we grasp onto and almost blowing coal and holding onto it so tightly all the time, is now out of your illusionary hands that were holding it to begin with. Now you're in it. You're in the realism of it. This is the beauty. This is the good stuff. That's why even when I get my YT channel attacked by these bots, you know, I laugh, but it is the game of now pushing the nerves and making a difference versus just floating along on this bullcrap feather that really wasn't there to begin with, right? So I can have some title that wasn't me to begin with either. And once that's washed away and people get grounded in a sense and they're spiritually strong and mentally hard as iron, got a good thing going on. It's the people out there still boasting about their pinstripe couches and, you know, manicured grass that they often spend years manicuring to play God, the ones I worry about. I say, look at Detroit, and then maybe you'll figure it out.
What's people's problem, in your opinion? I mean, what is it that separates men like us who take action, behave honorably, from the rest of the people who choose to distract themselves with things that have little or no value? What is the difference?
Ego. I really sum it up a lot of times, just plain out ego. People see themselves in the second dimension versus just using the second dimension. And when you can start just using the second dimension, basically what I mean by that is, hey, I'm going to pick up that bottle and I can see myself doing it, and I know how the functions are going to react before I start to do them because my mind's eye allows me to do that, versus seeing myself as an illusionary character that's now created through the Matrix and all the conditioning and programming. That's where we go wrong. We start seeing ourselves as something that we're not. So if I can just pick the bottle up and visually see myself picking up, it's just a bottle. I know I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to take a drink of this water. But if I see myself in my studded, encrusted zirconia belt buckle, right, as Pimp Vinny, the top salesman, now it's a whole different ballgame. It's not just you picking up the bottle. It's Pimp Vinny picking up the bottle. And I believe that is the setback of most people that I speak with. They can't get past that second visual of themselves just being themselves. They always still have to have the imagery that's created falsely in their mind's eye, and it just doesn't exist.
You know, to be honest, when you said that, the image in my mind's eye of Pimp Vinny seemed pretty awesome.
You know what I mean, Vinny? Get yourself a gold tooth player, little sideways hat, one pant leg pulled up, you're on your way.
Well, see, I was thinking more like a full-on fluffy tiger skin jacket kind of thing with like a chinchilla, a fur collar with a cane and a gargantuan hat. With like what are those gargantuan birds called that have like the huge kind of sort of fluffy tails that they have?
Like the big moon boots.
A peacock, yeah. Gargantuan peacock feathered hat. Like some kind of Native American headdress of pimpology.
There you go. You know, and that's the problem, right, Ben, is we see this go on all the time, and it goes on. I find this even goes on in truth circles. You know, I find truthers that are out there, and they're pounding their chest on how big and bad they are in the truth movement versus just doing what they got to do to make sure that we can get truth out. You know, it's not about scorekeeping on who's the biggest and the baddest truther. Look, let's just get the information out there to start with and hope that we get enough people interested to maybe put pressure on the evil ones, if you want to call them that, to understand that, hey, there's a group here and they're ready to rock and roll on blowing what we've been hiding for a long time out of proportion. So here they are. Now what's happening, I find, in the truth movement, you got people out there literally trying to just steal limelight versus doing what they need to do to get the truth out.
Yeah, well, my situation is rather ironic in that sense, is that I just try to do what I can to get the truth out, and as a result, I wind up stealing the limelight by default.
Hey, not a bad thing, though, man. If people are listening to you and they're doing, you know, they're doing it, and they're in there and they're caring, and that's not a bad thing. Like, I think it's a bad thing when you start doing it in a different format and you're misleading people bringing them down the wrong direction to literally make a profit off of it. And it just furthers the same greed that we're all just trying to fight about to begin with, right? Then you're just being hypocritical and completely dishonest to yourself and everyone else around you.
Yeah, and you really do have to keep constantly questioning yourself, like, am I doing the right thing still? Mm-hmm. Am I being completely honest with myself at this particular moment? And the more you question yourself on those regards, and what was that piece of advice that I got? Oh, yeah. When I was young and I was drinking, I think it might have been like 15, 16 or whatever, I was around at a friend's place having some drinks, and his father was dying of emphysema at the time. He says, as a man, you've got to get up every morning and you've got to look at yourself in the mirror while you shave. If you can still tolerate that image you see reflected back at you and it doesn't disgust you, then you're doing all right. And I think that's an analogy for seeing yourself as you really are and truly acknowledging what your reflection is. If you're not able to see yourself as you really are, then you're lost. And you shouldn't be able to live with yourself. And that's, I think, the bulk of people's problems is that they don't want to look in the mirror. They don't want to be told that they're wrong. They don't want people to come in to say to them, look, bro, you're a slave. Okay, I know you think you've got all this stuff. I know you think you got your family, and I know you think you got your house, and I know you think you got your car. And I know you think you've got your freedom. And I know you think you've got your privacy. None of it really exists. And at a moment's notice, it can be taken away from you. And there will be nothing you can do about it. And sure enough, all of these things are being taken away from everybody. And just because you're not one of the people that has had it all taken away from you yet, doesn't mean you're immune. It means your time is coming. Here's the question. Do you want to find out what it's like to lose everything you hold dear? Before or after you absolutely have to? Do you want to be prepared for the day that it really starts to come on strong? Or do you want it to live your life in an illusion until the day that the illusion disappears? Like being on holiday when you know you've got work to do. And only when you come back to work do you realize that your entire business is in the toilet because you tried to operate under the illusion that you wanted a holiday when you needed to get getting your work done.
Well said.
People will be really, really conscious of this. If you're not doing something important for humanity in general on a daily basis to counteract the scumbaggery that is being perpetrated upon the population of this entire freaking planet simultaneously, every single day and every single minute and every single second. How can you live with yourself? And even if you could live with yourself based on that knowledge, how long could you go on ignoring it without feeling something really, really nasty eating away at your insides like a boar worm chewing through your intestines? This is the kind of pain and fear that I feel on a daily basis. You know, like even when I go to sleep, I'll wake up 8 hours later and I'll feel guilty that I spent 8 hours sleeping instead of exposing skin back. Look at me, that's maybe a bit too much pressure to put on myself because I need my sleep. But skumbaggery needs to be exposed more because it doesn't sleep. Have you noticed that?
It's not going to sleep. It's never slept. And it is on all the time, 24-7, 365 days of the year. It's on. The National Defense Act that was signed at, what was it, New Year's Eve? 12 o'clock midnight will tell you everything. Didn't go to sleep. Wasn't no partying. Wasn't popping champagne corks in the United States. Signed in the right to throw citizens at any given time into a jail without any defense. Wasn't having a good time at Times Square. And you're 100% right, Benny. This is the deal. Bottom line is we're on this chunk of dirt. And you can make a decision. You can sit around doing a whole lot of nothing and twiddling your thumbs and keep on dreaming. Or you can see what's really going on out there and make a choice to be active. And myself, I feel great when I'm active. I feel that's the worth of life, period, is to give and to keep giving as much as I possibly can. That takes the douchebagness right off of you. When you give, you will feel so good about doing that little small motion, whatever it may be. Maybe it's just time. Maybe it's just services. You don't have to always give money. I have a friend of mine that literally drops off tomatoes that he grows all the time to people in his neighborhood, puts them on their front steps. Fantastic thing to do. It's just a gift, you know, of giving what you can.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's don't give what you can't give. But if you've got something to give, don't be afraid of losing it, okay? Because you can always get more and give more at the same time. We'll be right back after the break with Pete Crackers.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know
welcome
about
back.
The Bilderberg and New World Order. What you know about the
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide in Didi. Duty, and the call-in number, this is a test right now. If you'd like to call in and talk to myself or Mr. Peak Crackers, by the way, his YouTube channel is youtube.com/Mr. Peak Crackers. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Please call in and share your thoughts with us. Now, Bare Bones Productions. I was wondering why have you characterized yourself as Pete Crackers with a skeleton smoking a cigarette?
Why did I use a skeleton? Is that was your question, Vinny?
Yeah.
I like the skeleton because there's no fluff. It's just bare bones truth. That's what I always kind of went after. I try it in my videos. If I go on the philosophical end of it, I mean, it can be conceived all kinds of different ways. But a lot of times when I can find fact, if I can find hard fact, that's what I like to do, is strip away all the fluffing and fat and everything else that's been placed upon a fact and expose it for what it is. So that's kind of where I got the bare bones production. It was just kind of a corny thing I threw out there to lighten the mood, I guess, more than anything else. But the reality with the skeleton was, yeah, it was the whole fact of just skin and bone truth. I didn't want it to be anything but that. Here's a bunch of facts. You can look them up for yourself and make your own decision from there. But this is what I found. So that's why I chose Mr. Skeleton Man. Mm. There's no vanity in it. It's just a skeleton. You know, it's just bones in a suit that made him look somewhat, I guess, dressed up and left it at that.
Yeah. It's kind of like a crackhead for truth. And,
thanks.
It was just, you know, like what was it called? Dave Chappelle did a sketch one time when he was his limo driver accidentally put, he was like trying to find some weed, right? And his limo driver went into a bad neighborhood, and he was like, and, you know, Dave Chappelle's like freaking out in the back of this limo, just going, "Oh my god, gangsters over there with their guns and stuff like that, and sideways cats, crackheads scuttling into the alleys." And you know, what occurs to me is that we've gotten ourselves into the point where we don't see ourselves as one with everybody. We see everybody as completely different to ourselves. And I think that's actually the bare bones truth of it, is that everything that we see around us, in my opinion, is a representation of me, because how I feel about it and how I think about it actually reflects more upon who I am as a person than what that person I'm judging and pointing fingers at is. What do you reckon?
It's easy to blame. I mean, it's the low-hanging fruit in my eyes when people start blaming all kinds of other people around them on a constant basis for their own demise and demoralization and problems that they stepped into. And they can't look within themselves to see that it is consistent within them, not the other fellow. Now, mind you, look, there is a system that's set up to keep you belted down, and that part we all have to somehow understand. Once that takes place, stop the blaming. Start looking at yourself to get out. Start looking at yourself on how you can make the difference so you're not impacted by any of this, and maybe even just deflect some of it in a sense of you taking the responsibility, not blaming a religious group, not blaming a cultural group, not blaming a race. It's easy to do that. It's very quick and easy to do that. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have discussions about the problems that you see. It doesn't mean you can't have a discussion about religious groups. But bottom line is, you still have to make the decision within you to make that difference, to step away from it. And that is probably the most important thing that everyone tends to somehow bypass. They want to shift it off and say, "You are the blame for all my problems." Yeah, fine, we got Duke. Now you accept it, now move on. Cut as much of it you can to get out. Fight against it, but using yourself and not blaming someone else, or setting someone else up, for that matter, for the fall of all the brunt of this problem. Because I think most people don't realize how large and how powerful it is that's been placed over top of humanity as we know it. It's like what you said earlier, Vinny. We can't all wake up and think we know everything. We just don't. So what do we know ourselves, or at least we try to get to know ourselves the best?
You ever see the movie Alien 3?
I have not, no.
Well, there's a great little speech in the end, towards the end. Like, they're basically unarmed, and they got to somehow kill this alien, right? And Ripley's trying to get them all organized so that they can trap it and boil it in hot lead. And it's really dangerous to do this because they've got to lure it into the mold in order to pour the hot lead on this creature, right? So they're really putting themselves in harm's way in order to defeat this creature. And the criminals say to her, "Why should we put our ass on the line for you?" And she says to them, "Your ass is already on the line. The only question is, what are you going to do about it?" And this is, I think, the situation that most truthers find themselves in. You're like, why should I put my ass on the line for the truth against the New World Order? Why should I put my ass on the line to expose and defeat Agenda 21 being implemented in my hometown? Yeah, what makes you think your ass ain't on the line already? My only question is, what are you going to do about it? You don't have a choice about whether or not your ass is on the line.
Right on with that. What are you going to do about it? And that is the question I think that every person has to ask themselves on a day-to-day basis and keep it fresh in your mind. because I think it's easy to forget that little simple step that we have to do in our lives. What am I going to change today to make it so I'm out of that harm's way, that I'm not participating in that game? Maybe it might be something small, but it definitely is something, either way you want to look at it. One of the things that I often preach to people, and they'll say, what can I do? What can I do to get myself going? Start buying food off of a farmer. There's lots of them around. If you can't, I'm sure there's lots of little side street stands that are set up that someone's growing their food. It's a great way to stop buying at these large food stores that really it's just filled with pesticides and GMOs and all the other stuff that we know that's loaded up on this food. And you're giving that medium of exchange the way it was meant to be without the usury attached to it and the taxation to someone else that's doing a lot of what you're doing. And that starts to become very cyclical. I think it's one of the most underrated ways to not perform in the matrix is to go out and start buying food from people like that. You have to have food, so why not take that little bit of time and buy it from someone if you're not going to buy it, or grow it yourself, even one step better. And I find that that's a big step for a lot of people, and it's a good step for them to, you know, start feeling like they're in control again, back to them. They're not at the mercy of someone that can cut off the food supply or feed them the poisons that are a lot of times in the foods to begin with. And that taking control of that little bit really starts to put people, I think, in the right mind frame and starts to grow.
Yeah, they go in a much better direction.
Absolutely.
I mean, as you're saying that, I was just thinking to myself, you know, it'd be good to write down a list of all the current agendas of the New World Order that in some small way I'm supporting in my life. So let's say, for example, I'm surrounded by electronic devices at this very moment. So I'm partly fulfilling the agenda of the New World Order to soft kill people with electromagnetic radiation. How can I solve that one particular problem? Well, I've got myself a blue shield. Okay, it protects me on a cellular level. Excellent. Okay, next thing. What else am I doing? Oh, I went to go and get some fast food the other day. I'm supporting the New World Order soft kill bioweapon food agenda. So how can I solve that problem? Well, I'll actually go to a locally run organic cafe and purchase some food there instead. So solve that part of the New World Order agenda. I'm drinking tap water. How can I solve that part? Well, turns out that the organic cafe where I had my my meal also sells big 20-liter bottles of water. So get one of those. And you can run through this just in your daily life, and I can guarantee you, you'll probably come up with 100 ways in which you're unwittingly supporting the New World Order agenda. And for each of those 100 ways you're supporting the New World Order agenda, there are 1,000 things you can do about it. But you can't suddenly do something about every single one of them all at the same time, straight off the bat. And a lot of people put too much pressure on themselves. They're like, oh, it's too hard to defeat the New World Order in every conceivable way that they're fracking with me right now. So they do nothing. The answer is just do one thing at a time until eventually you're doing so many things that don't support the New World Order agenda that you recognize to yourself, oh, my God, I'm really fracking the New World Order agenda in 100 ways each day.
So true.
By not participating, by not letting them do this to me. That's really empowering. That's what people need to do. Right? I mean, did you learn English in all of the places where you put commas and exclamation marks and word structures, sentences, things like that? Did you learn all that in a day? Would it take you practically the most part of your life in order to learn how to do it, and you're still learning things? Of course. So how do you think you're going to defeat the New World Order agenda? All in a day? Or is it going to be something that you constantly work on every day in your life? And because you're constantly working on it, it's constantly encouraging you to keep doing it. In it.
Yeah, you know, Vin, the one thing that I think is so underrated is that exactly the way you're pointing this out is the whole concept that's been placed upon us is to laugh at the idea of empowering ourselves. That's part of the conditioning that people see it. Because if you talk to people about growing food. Most of them will kind of chuckle it off. I was like, yeah, I have a little garden around back, and, you know, keeps the wife busy, blah, blah, blah. They really just blow it off as if it's not important. It's just a hobby, or for that matter, I do it because, you know, I'm kind of a makeshift gardener from time to time, and the little bit that I get doesn't really put a dent in anything. It makes a massive difference. A lot of people just don't know how to grow their own food, period. And I've often had people tell me, well, why can't you just go to the store? I mean, that's what it's there for, right? You go there and you take your money out and you buy something. That's the whole problem right there, is that mindset. Why not just learning on how to do it so that I don't have to ever have that worry, period, about any money or store? There's a lot of things that I can start to do. That's the most important. I always say that's probably top of the list, top of the food chain, with pun intended, is to learn how to self-sustain your food. And it really isn't that difficult if you put a little bit of time in each day, just trying to figure out a little bit more of it. And people that I've often spoke with said, yeah, there's a learning curve. Of course there's a learning curve. It's just what you just pointed out. It's a learning curve in anything that we do in life. And it's to be expected, but hey, make it fun. Be proud of what you're doing. Have that same pride of you going out and buying some goofy suit that'll be outdated very quickly into your tomato plants or your cucumbers, your zucchini, your cabbage, whatever you're going to grow. Have that same pride. I tell people right now, the one thing that I would tell people to really hone in on, become a beekeeper. Bees are on a massive decline right now. 30% a year, they're saying. They're decolonizing. You know, talk about liquid gold. There's a perfect example in Canada. A lot of people really don't realize how much maple syrup. They actually had a heist last year. It was like something like $36 million in maple syrup was stolen. And, you know, this is the stuff that just kind of floats underneath the radar, and no one takes into consideration how valuable food is to people. So make it valuable to yourself. Don't let it be held over your head like an axe.
Yeah, I agree. Nathan, you are on the air. Welcome to the program.
Hey. Been a while since I called in. I had a baby recently, and my sister, who just got off of chemotherapy, she just started her first day at kindergarten this last Wednesday. I took a little bit of a break from my work with my website and listening to you, Vinny, and other radio shows and calling in. But I really appreciate what you guys are talking about today. And I just wanted to say that for more than a decade now, I've spent pretty much every day of my life thinking about, you know, what it's going to take. And everything that you guys are saying is true, yes. You know, got to get some control of your food source and all that. You have to self-govern, but we have to do it in some kind of way that, you know, they're not going to deem the general public as a threat. You know, somehow we have to, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying you can't, you know, like concerning primary psychopaths and how they might be making these horrible decisions, you know, to bring in Agenda 21 and everything else, you know, that these guys just need to be, you know, rid from the face of the planet. And I just look at myself and I
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment here with Pete Crackers. If you'd like to call in, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Pete, I wanted to kind of turn it over to you. Now, we've discussed a lot of things here, you know, a bit of philosophy and wisdom on life. And what have you? And I was just wondering, is there anything that you kind of you don't normally talk about because it just doesn't come up in the conversation, or it's not appropriate, or so on and so forth. Because we all self-censor to a degree, and I'm just wondering, do you have any beliefs that you try to keep from people for fear that it might freak them out?
You know, the one tough topic is always Zionism, if you want to call it that. It seems to be a touchy hot button, but when I do bring it up, people tend to get upset or, you know, up in arms about talking about the Jewish religion or Zionism, which is the political agenda of it. But I do like to talk about it because I feel a lot of times that it is very much an important factor on what we're seeing taking place. A lot of people kind of steer from the topic. They don't like to bring it up. But it is what it is, you know, and in AIPAC will sum up a lot of the conversation very quickly for most, or Goldman Sachs buying all the political parties all the time. And this is a fact. It's not made up. It does exist. But people just choose not to deal with this conversation. And if they do, they're usually frothing at the mouth, which is an impossible conversation to have. And they won't keep calm-headed enough to maybe really search through it and ask themselves even the tough questions while they're searching through it. It is a topic that I often like to discuss because I believe that it is such a hidden conversation, you know, in most circles. And you're seeing more people now bringing this up, and, you know, for good reason. Why are these things happening? Why are these atrocities taking place? And a lot of times the roads end up leading back to the same path, unfortunately. And it is what it is. I mean, you know, I'm not just pulling this out of thin air. If once you start doing your homework, you start seeing this reoccurring problem. And why is the question?
Well, why do you think it is?
Well, you know, if you want to get deep into it, there's definitely an agenda. And there's no getting around that agenda. It's been around for a long time, and that's what there's an imposement. They want to impose this slave-type system on humanity, and it's been done very well, unfortunately. And people, once they start going through this, they ask the question, well, who are these people that are doing it? Well, unfortunately, a lot of times the bulk of tends to seep back into a Zionistic way. This political ideology that was, you know, forefronted after the Second World War. And it is what it is. I mean, the banking system is definitely defined on it. A lot of people don't like to talk about kosher tax, and they don't call it a tax, but there is a kosher fee that's put on 90% of products that we use. And people won't look at it. A lot of people just don't even like the topic of that kosher fee, tax, whatever you want to call it, that's forced upon our consumer goods. And I don't need my toothpaste blessed, and I don't want my baking soda blessed, and I don't want to pay for anyone's religion, period. I should have that choice. And they'll often say, well, it's not a cost to you, but it is. It reflects back in the consumer pricing on the product. I don't know if any company's going to come right out and say it, but I can't see them eating any at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me on that, Vinny?
I find this this topic is like a game of two halves, and it's like trying to figure it out. And what did I come back to? Oh, yeah, the Holocaust. Okay. And some people say that the Holocaust didn't happen, or if it did happen, it didn't happen the way they said it did, you know, and I've seen a number of these things. And what occurs to me that whether or not it did or didn't happen, it is the perfect endless justification for anything, anybody masquerading as a Jewish state could permanently use to discredit and demonize anybody that criticizes them forever.
Yep.
You're killing our babies, you're exterminating them in open air prison camps. Yeah, but that happened to us, so we can do it to you. That's fine. Dude, you're sending like virtual freaking nukes into Syria and into the Gaza Strip, and it's killing children and pregnant women and so on and so forth. They're like, yep, Holocaust though. Okay, shut up.
Exactly. And, you know, the pressure is on now,
Benny. You're torturing people in prison. You've got a massive surveillance state network in your country that is the most powerful cyber warfare teams in the entire world, and you're influencing foreign policy and getting people to march to your tune, and you're doing it completely unconstitutionally, unethically, and deliberately, and scumbag-arially. And they're like, yeah, but there was a Holocaust, bro. Didn't you hear?
Yep. And the thing, Vinny, now they're trying to press so hard that you can't even speak about the Jewish religion. And there's no difference if we talk about Catholicism, Christianity, Islamic faith. Bottom line is, we should be allowed to talk. You know, and this is where I see that constant pressure, and this is why you asked, you know, is there something that you talk about or maybe you don't want to talk about because it sets people off? I like to talk about the topic. It just sets people off, unfortunately, the wrong way. Instead of standing back and taking a full analogy of what's going on, it becomes a mind mess of anger and emotion, and that's not solving the problem. The problem is education and understanding the process. And if you can start to educate yourself on the process they've used against all of us and see why we're, you know, being kind of bought into this whole factor, and things like the kosher tax that are put out there, with most people not even knowing that that little U, that little K, that's on products, and that money does get kicked back down the road to Israel. So where is this all wrong to speak about? I don't want to have to pay for anybody's belief system, and I don't want it forced upon me. Why is that wrong to say such things? And you're absolutely right. It gets shut up. We had a Holocaust. Stop talking about it. And it's sickening, but that is the hot-button topic that I like to usually talk about. And unfortunately, it tends to bring things upon me, which I believe is where my bots that are smashing down the channel right now have started because of this topic that's been put out many a times. And I'm not going to stop talking about it because it's a fair conversation, and religion is a fair conversation.
I don't think it actually has anything to do with being Jewish. I don't think it has anything to do with Zionism. I think that the Jews and the Zionists are simply being used by the satanic New World Order to fulfill one of their agendas, and they're just puppets, you know? You've got all these wonderful Jewish people in the state of Israel. 8 million turned out for an a protest against the state of Israel and its treatment of Gaza. That's like almost the majority of the population or something like that. It's just ridiculously massive protests. And yet the government keeps doing it. And it occurs to me that that's the exact same model that I see. You see it in New Zealand. They're passing this state surveillance bill called the GCSB bill, take away everybody's right to privacy. Country comes out protesting like heck. Country keeps going ahead in the exact same direction. It doesn't change. The United States, they passed really nasty legislation and to destroy everybody's right to privacy and start all these foreign wars. All the people come out, start protesting, lobbying, so on and so forth. Nothing changes. So it doesn't happen just in Israel, just in New Zealand, just in America, but it's happening everywhere, which would lead me to believe that it has nothing to do with New Zealand society or American society or Jewish society or anything. It is the New World Order society in and of itself, using all of us to fight each other. So
the war
manipulated. And that way, whenever anybody criticizes any part of the New World Order agenda, you can be called racist or anti-American.
Yeah, I'm not anti-anything other than evil is what I see on humanity. But, you know, even in that facet, there is still a part of the Jewish religion that says that they're chosen people from God, that does make most people kind of uncomfortable with that thought that one group is saying, I'm going somewhere you're not, and I'm entitled to it and you're not. And you know, that's really the underlining statement, the way that I interpret it. And people tend to get really bent when they, you know, see that. either way, there's a state or a chunk of land that has now kicked out a bunch of people that were living there prior, humans, and literally, you know, forced them into a bad, bad situation by murder, deception. And it is what it is. We can dress this thing up five ways to Sunday, but it still is, the fact remains. People were being tortured and killed and thrown out by their hair off their own property that they had lived there for a long time. And no one wants to talk about it. And that's...
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, and the thing is, religious extremism is something that exists in every religion, even though the vast majority of the members of that religion wouldn't agree with whatever the extremists say. And some Jewish extremists say that, you know, all the rest of the world are slaves and we are God's chosen people. But the vast majority of Jews are like, what? That's freaking crazy. That guy's a religious extremist. And there's people in Islam who say that we must fight a war against the infidels and blow ourselves up in front of them. And the vast majority of Muslims is like, my God, that guy's insane. What is he talking about? I don't believe that. And that's the interesting thing, is that people forget, when you're exposing a religious extremist, that you're actually trying to demonize the entire religion. Mm. And they misunderstand. They don't quite get it. Pete Crackers, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening.